Hello. Welcome back to Jason Kale's Basement of Jams, Rocking Mental Health. So what tune is this? What is that? Did I just hear somebody yell from the back, Freebird? You know what? Ding, ding, ding. You are right. You gotta have a little Freebird in the Basement of Jams after all. At the end of today's podcast, me playing the song will make much more sense. Well, I hope you are awesome. If not, that's okay. It is okay to not be okay. It really is. Park there for a while, rest up, but always make sure to get back on the road and not stay in park. The last episode, we talked about the importance of breaking down the walls. Breaking down the walls that surround mental health. More specifically, breaking down the walls or the beliefs that we should not talk about our mental health or our mental illness. It has to be okay to talk about it. No longer can we be expected to just suck it up and hold on to it to the point of explosion. We have to get ourselves and our society to a point we can ask for help before the inferno rages out of control. Keeping what is going on inside of our minds to ourselves, it needs to stop. The idea of talking about our minds and what is going on has to be okay, and it has to be accepted. Period. Okay, so now what? We've opened up and asked for help. We have made a decision to change the way we have always taken care of ourselves. I know for me, the old ways of taking care of myself, mentally, was no longer working. I made the decision to change and ask for help outside of myself. I've mentioned and talked a bit about some of the outside help that is available. I talk, and I am going to talk, about what I know and what I've experienced. Let's jump a little more in depth into what can happen now that you have taken the brave step to ask for help. It takes a lot of courage to admit to yourself and to others that you need help. Now that you've asked for help, we now want to take this extraordinary effort and make it worth it by putting the train into motion, by getting this life-saving journey started. We've talked a little about it, but I think having patience in the process is one of the biggest keys. I feel it should be mentioned first. Okay, Jason, you mentioned patience. That kind of sounds like this may take a while. So what gives? I'm not mentioning patience to discourage you. You will find that through this journey, some changes and processes happen quickly, but a lot of it truly takes time to really take root and provide a solid foundation for the rest of the tree to grow from. You have now asked for help, and you might be surprised how much better just asking for help makes you feel. You have asked for help outside of yourself. Doing it ourselves can be a lonely process. The feeling I got when I asked for help outside of myself was a good feeling. Oh, I was terrified. But there was a sense of peace also. Just asking for help helped me to realize I was going to undertake this journey not alone anymore, but with others. The fact that others were going to help bear this burden I've carried myself for so long, it provided a huge relief. Asking for help definitely for me was scary, but it was incredibly freeing. I noticed myself starting to loosen up. This feeling stuck with me for a while. It was a huge step that provided a much better feeling than what I was used to dealing with. I was ready to learn something new about caring for myself. This carried me through, but patience is a big thing to keep in mind. I've said it before, but you are undoing and rewiring processes that have been in place for years. You will see immediate changes, yes, thank God. But it also takes time to build the foundation in which further growth and improvement can sprout from. Next, there are options on how to start. I was in the ER, as that is where I ended up due to my situation. Not everyone will go through it by this route, but the option remains there for you if you feel you need it. I think I went to the ER knowing what option I would take, even though I didn't want to take it. You can begin your treatment as an outpatient or as an inpatient. I think a lot of people go the outpatient route, but it really depends on how you initially present yourself when asking for help and really how severe or even unstable you are. Personally, I presented myself to the ER and went the inpatient route once all was said and done, but I was given a choice. One of the main reasons I decided to stay is the alcohol side of the equation. I knew I needed to stay and be away from it for some time. Yeah, I could take a day off, but the next day I'd be drinking as much as I possibly could. And I needed to break that cycle. I needed a break from that pattern. Had I gone home, I fear I would have gone right back into my old destructive way of doing things. I felt unstable mentally and didn't trust myself to make the right decisions for myself. Plus, I was having suicidal thoughts. That really may have been the game changer for me. My alcoholic tendencies, coupled with these horrible thoughts, left me feeling unstable, along with the depression and anxiety that was spinning out of control. My experience is going the inpatient route. I did not feel my mental state was stable enough to go home and start the process as an outpatient. This is my first time asking for help as well. Again, there is the outpatient route. You can start with getting a hold of your general practice physician. I feel this is really a good place to start. They can then refer you to a psychiatrist. Talk to friends or family members and see who they may see or like, and you can get a referral to see them based on that recommendation. Another route that I encourage you to take, and you don't need a referral for this, is going and seeing a therapist. Again, you can ask friends and family if they have anyone to recommend for you, but you can pick up the phone and call one of the offices and schedule an appointment. It's as simple as that. It may help to have someone with you when you make the call, because having someone with you can help with your nerves, but also provides a sense of accountability. I know when I have told someone I would do something, I hate to let them down, especially if they are sitting right there by you. So now, you have either a referral or an appointment to see either a psychiatrist or a therapist, or you have an appointment for both. Awesome. Be patient, as you may not get in to see them right away. That is why it is important to assess or have someone assess for you your condition. Or better yet, call your general doctor's office and describe to them how you are feeling. That's what my wife did for me, and they were super helpful. But what do they do? Each is different. A psychiatrist is the same as your general doc, in a sense. They are the doctor of the mind. They are the ones who will diagnose you, recommend treatment, including but not limited to seeing a therapist. But the main thing, at least in my experience, is they manage your medication. They can start you on something for your diagnosis and or change you to a different medication if the one before isn't working. If the chemical treatment side isn't your cup of tea and you prefer to treat yourself more naturally, there are also psychiatrists that deal more on the holistic side. You can always start with one and eventually go see the other, and really just take time and figure out what discipline works best for you. But as a new patient, it can take some time to get an appointment with either style. In the meantime, I encourage you to make an appointment with a therapist. You do not need a referral to see these amazing folks. A psychiatrist you will see maybe a few times a year, but your therapist you will see as often as necessary. I started off weekly and then spaced it out more depending on how I was doing at the time. Even if you have not seen your psychiatrist, there's really no reason why you shouldn't go and start seeing a therapist. These most excellent people are the ones who will talk to you and get you talking. I was nervous at first. I mean, I'm not really in favor of dumping my life out for a perfect stranger, but I was made to feel comfortable really right off the bat. Their job is to make you feel comfortable enough that you share. The more you share and the more honest you are about what you share, the more they can and will help you. they won't necessarily tell you all of the answers. I have found in my experience, they would rather you talk and they help to direct you. In turn, you are the one coming up with most of the solutions as you talk everything out. What a relief. It felt so good getting to talk to someone who encouraged me to talk about myself. It doesn't matter how smooth you spill your beans out. It just matters that you be honest with what you are saying. Don't hold back. It might get emotional, but the more active and honest you are, the more you will get out of this interaction. Your therapist will recommend different techniques for you to try, whether it be a breathing technique or something you repeat to yourself to help calm an anxiety attack, or encouraging you to keep a journal or something in between that. They are there to help. And speaking of journaling, that was one of the biggest recommendations my therapist had for me. Write it out, whatever it is. Write it out. Good, bad, whatever. Write it out. And use it to reflect on where you have been. And use that info to help you decide about where you need to go next. And also, bring that journal to your therapy sessions. It's hard to remember everything through a week, but if it's written down, it certainly helps to recall. Back to the inpatient side. I was immediately able to see a psychiatrist while in the hospital. Well, at least I did within a day. And the staff helped me get set up with all the appointments that I was going to need once I got out of the hospital. I had appointments for an outpatient psychiatrist and also for a therapist. And I was able to start a medication regimen right away. The inpatient side gets you jump-started, but it is what is needed at that level. You need the stability the structured inpatient aspect gives you while you are at your most unstable. Also, while getting started, you always need to utilize your core group or your inner circle. These individuals are key to our success. Chances are, as one of them is who you reached out to initially, definitely keep using them. They want to be those people. I didn't know that as much before I had my crash, or at least I didn't recognize it, but I quickly figured out how much they were there for me and wanted to be there for me. I mean, I really realized it almost after the fact, but in reality, they were always there. I chose, or subconsciously chose, to not recognize it though. Your inner core can also be your accountability buddy, so to speak. They have proven, over time, to be invested in you. They want to see you succeed. Sometimes we need that extra push, especially with this kind of an undertaking, but they are perfect people to help you get going. Also, they're a great source of encouragement throughout. Remember, now that you have communicated wanting help this first time, keep your core group informed on your progress. I mean, number one, they want to hear it. Number two, it's always good to talk things out. In the end, trust yourself. You have decided to take a big step and make a big change for your life. Trust yourself that yes, you have made the best and right decision for yourself. You are worth it. Well, I think it's time that we wrap things up for today. I hope this has helped to see inside a bit about what treatment can look like. You will have a team that is on your side and wants to see you succeed. You will not be alone in this. Heck, you may even feel as free as a bird now. Take care, be well. Thank you for listening to Jason Kale's Basement of Jams, Rocking Mental Health. Oh, shit. Have a great day.